RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first day headlines. Indonesia should be careful toward foreign investor at free trade era. Indonesian government to focus on food and infrastructure, President Joko Widodo says. Non-governmental organization NGO to provide legal counsel to victims of forest fires. Now the news in detail. ASEAN Economic Community AEC will go on in January 2016. The readiness of Indonesian people in facing the flow of goods and services from outside is very important, remembering Indonesia is a strategic market in the global economic era. Related to the issue, Baginda Pakpahan, political and economic analyst from the University of Indonesia, in an interview prior to the diplomatic forum held by Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service on Tuesday in Jakarta, said the government needs to be careful in the free trade, especially the implementation of deregulation, in order not hamper the Indonesian people.
Tapi tentu dengan adaptasi dan kehati-hatian ya. Karena jangan sampai deregulasi.
But of course with adaptations and carefulness, if indeed want to ask or invite investors from outside should be realized about the implementation and regulation that is appropriate to the situation in the country. So it must be balanced between the need to attract investors and also promote the economy, impact especially aimed to the people who are under poverty. Meanwhile, related to the weakening rupiah, Baginda Pakpahan said, the current global economic situation now influencing the strength of currencies. So the global situation also influenced to the availability of Asian currencies, including countries in Southeast Asia that will impose the ASEAN Economic Community in 2016. Therefore, the government's package that was just launched need to be taken carefully in order not hamper the Indonesian people. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has asserted that the government is focusing its attention on improvements to infrastructure and the agriculture industry. President Joko Widodo said that currently Indonesia's main challenge was in the economic field because it still had a heavy dependence on imported goods. That was why the weakening rupiah had become such a major issue. The president further said the government wanted to transfer the current pattern of good development from consumption to production activities. While admitting it was quite a large task, President Jokowi said such a transformation needed to be done so that Indonesia could achieve food sovereignty. The president further said infrastructure development must be carried out immediately. He further explained that the railway construction project in Sulawesi would be started at the end of September, while in Papua, the railway construction project would begin next year. The prolonged drought induced by the El Nino phenomenon has resulted in a water crisis and harvest failure in some provinces and also increased the incidence of forest fires in Sumatra, Kalimantan, Java, and Sulawesi. The South Sumatra chapter of the Indonesian Environmental Forum, while he said, the government has failed to meet its haze-free commitment this year, as forest and plantation fires have ravaged some provinces. South Sumatra's Walhi Executive Director, Hadijat Miko, stated in Palembang recently that the government's commitment to free Indonesia from haze this year has not been fulfilled. It is because the instructions of President Joko Widodo were not carried out by his subordinate officials at the central and regional levels. In a press statement issued on Monday, the NGO urged the public to actively fight for their rights for a good and healthy environment which is free from haze and their rights for living healthily, as well as the rights of the future generations. While he also called on people living in haze-free regions to pledge their solidarity with those impacted by the haze and support the move to sue the authorities. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the government was currently focusing to make improvements in food issues and infrastructures. President Jokowi stated that Indonesian severe challenges were in the economic field because the majority of the goods were imported, so that the weakening of rupiah against the US dollar was increasingly felt. Although it took time, the president confirmed that indeed the transformation should be done so that Indonesia has a food self-sufficiency. Likewise, the development of infrastructure that must be done immediately. The railway line in Sulawesi also would begin this month, while in Papua, the construction of the railway will begin in the second half of next year. Indonesia actually has potential power to accomplish the problem. If the problem is resolved, Matt, then there would be no problem in the exchange rate. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government will permit the import of 800,000 tons of raw sugar in the fourth quarter, October to December 2015, to meet the refined sugar needs of the domestic sugar industry, stated the Trade Ministry. Acting Director General of External Trade of the Ministry of Trade, Karyanto Supri, noted in Jakarta on Monday that the Ministry of Industry is still calculating the volume of allocation for the domestic food and beverage industries based on their respective performance. He pointed out that although it has decided to import 800,000 tons of sugar, but the Trade Ministry had yet to issue permits for its import. The allocation for the import of raw sugar in 2015 accounted for about 2.8 million tons whose import permits were issued for 11 refined sugar industries with the objective of meeting the needs of the domestic food and beverage industries. Head of Tourism and Creative Economy East Nusa Tenggara Marius Jelamu said from January to August 2015, the Kelimutu National Park in Ende has contributed 1.4 billion rupiah to public treasury. He stated that the tourism sector should be optimized in the midst of a global economic slowdown and to strengthen the resilience of consumer purchasing power amid the threat of a crisis. The revenue is derived from visits of foreign and local tourists to Kelimutu Lake until the first half of this year, to 1.4 billion rupiah, and it was directly transferred to the account of the Ministry of Finance of Indonesia in Jakarta for further restored and managed further in that area. The number of both local and foreign tourists who visit Kelimutu Lake per month in July 2015 reached 35,753 people. Domestic tourists were 29,715 people, and foreign tourists were 6,038 people. He explained in the first half of 2015, the lowest number of visits both local and foreign tourists was in February, while the highest number of visitors was in July. The rupiah exchange rate traded among banks in Jakarta on Tuesday morning weakened by 23 points to 14,356 per US dollar from 14,333. The analyst further said domestic sentiments had tended to be neutral. Currently, market players were waiting for the government's weak performances in accelerating budget absorption for capital expenditures in order to push forward Indonesia's infrastructure development. LPP Enterprise analyst Lucky Bayu Purnomo said the Fed fund rate currently stood at 0.25%. If the Fed decided to increase its interest rate during its meeting, the potential for the rupiah exchange rate to depreciate again would be great. The central bank could push the people's purchasing power by reducing the BI rate. A low interest rate was deemed effective to push credits in the banking sector, and the people's consumption level could increase as well. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia should be careful toward foreign investors at free trade era. Indonesian government to focus on food and infrastructure. Non-governmental organization NGO to provide legal counsel to victims of forest fires. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with commentary, and today's commentary is on Free Papua Movement stirs trouble again. The Free Papua Movement, or OPM, has been making trouble since the 1970s. So far, they have been known to always unsettling and disturbing security in Papua. Many people were killed by this group, both from the military and civilians. In addition to guerrilla warfare, OPM also often infiltrated villages so they could provoke and divide the people. In addition to this separatist movement, it turns out that there are also many foreigners who illegally came to Papua and committed crimes, including smuggling marijuana. The security forces have been never tired of hunting down OPM separatists. Some OPM leaders have surrendered and returned to the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, and some were arrested or even shot dead by the security forces. Some of OPM members are still at large and insist on their demand to create an independent and sovereign state. This certainly undermines Indonesian sovereignty in Papua. The decision to curb OPM is a fixed price for the integrity of the republic. In a national media not long time ago, it was reported that the Indonesian military commander in Papua had called on the Papua New Guinea Defense Force to immediately release two Indonesian nationals being held hostage in Papua New Guinea. The military, together with the Indonesian consulate in Vanimo, continue to pursue that the two hostages released unharmed. But until now, there has been no reaction whatsoever from the perpetrator. The group is suspected to have shot and wounded some civilians in the village Kopro East Arso Kerom Regency, Papua, some time ago. It is not known with certainty whether the intention of the hostage-related action is a suppression effort against the current administration. Earlier in the year 2010, OPM had asked to sit down with the government of Indonesia to discuss a way out for Papua, but failed to do so. In an Australian media, one of the OPM leaders, Philip Karma, claimed that he had asked President Joko Widodo to voluntarily grant independence to West Papua. Philip compared the case of Papua and Timor-Leste, which has gained independence. And this does not make sense because based on the historical context, Papua is a legitimate part of the Indonesian territory that once colonized by the Netherlands, while East Timor is a former Portuguese colony that its people once had joined the Republic of Indonesia, though later it chose to liberate themselves with the help of Australia. The Papua issue itself is quite complicated. Being so far away from the central government, this area is often seen as neglected by the government, especially in terms of development. No wonder many Papuans feel dissatisfied and give rise to separatism issues such as the OPM. There is a solution given by the current administration, though. As the Minister of Rural and Disadvantaged Regions, Marwan Jafar, told Fairfax Media, the Papua problem can be overcome with the alignment of the central budget. Perhaps it is indeed the root of the problem, but there are many who suspect there are certain interests of big countries to control the abundant natural resources of Papua, and they are trying to play a dirty game in Papua. Well, that was commentary today on the Free Papua Movement Stirs Trouble Again. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with September the 15th, 1919. H.R. Rasuna Said, an Indonesian national hero, was born. Hajah Rangkayo Rasuna Said was an orator and Indonesian freedom fighter. Indonesian national hero was born in Maninjau Agam, West Sumatra, on September the 15th, 1919. She was one of the nation's best daughters who fought for equality between men and women in Indonesia. Rasuna Said was named as a national hero by a presidential decree on December the 13th, 1974. As a tribute to her service, the name H.R. Rasuna Said is immortalized and becomes the name of one of the main streets in Jakarta in the so-called the Golden Triangle area of Jakarta. Over now to September the 15th, 1943. Benito Mussolini formed the fascist government in Italy to side with the German dictator Hitler. Benito Amilcare Andrea Mussolini was born on July the 29th, 1883 and died on April the 28th, 1945. He was an Italian politician, journalist and leader of the National Fascist Party, ruling the country as prime minister from 1922 until his ousting in 1943. He ruled constitutionally until 1925, when he dropped all pretense of democracy and set up a legal dictatorship. Known as Il Duce, or the leader, Mussolini was the founder of fascism. Mussolini was forced to resign as Prime Minister of Italy on July 28, 1943, after a series of defeats of Italy in Africa. After his arrest, Mussolini was isolated. 2 years later, he was executed in Como, northern Italy. Mussolini put an end to a decade as in Germany conducted dictatorship of Adolf Hitler with his Nazi. Last is from September the 15, 1950, the Korean War begins. U.S. Armed Forces landed in Incheon, Korea. On September the 15, 1950, the battalions of U.S. Army stormed Korea. By the end of the night, over a third of Incheon was taken back. Korean War then is said to begin on September the 15, 1950, and lasted on July the 27, 1953. It is a conflict between North Korea and South Korea. This war is also called mandated war between the United States and its allies and the Communist People's Republic of China and the Soviet Union. The main war participants were North Korea and South Korea, but South Korea's main allies including the United States, Canada, Australia, and Great Britain. Although many other countries also sent troops under the UN flag, while North Korean allies such as the People's Republic of China provided military forces and the Soviet Union provided war advisors and pilots as well as weapons for the Chinese and North Korean forces. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's focus is on Indonesia ready to take over the control of airspace. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesia is ready to take over the rights to control its airspace or Flight Information Region, FIR, in some parts of Indonesia like Batam and North Kalimantan. Since 1945, Singapore had been in control of flights in the airspace above some areas in Indonesia's Riau Islands province, such as Batam, Tanjung Pinang, Bintan, and the Natuna Islands, which border with the city-state. Transport Minister Ignatius Jonan said the Indonesian government finally decided to take over the Flight Information Region upon President Joko Widodo's instructions. So far, Indonesia does not have any control of its own Flight Information Region or FIR. Even the Indonesian Air Force must ask permission to Singapore in advance when they want to hold exercises in the region. Ignatius Jonan said the takeover plan can only be done in the next 3 to 4 years because Indonesia must prepare equipment and personnel in advance. According to Minister Jonan, he will also talk about aid with Malaysia and Singapore. When Indonesia is ready, it will then will take over. Hopefully, it will run smoothly. He added, President Joko Widodo has also given direction to improve a number of equipment and personnel within 3 to 4 years so that Indonesian airspace can be managed by itself. Related to this, Chairman of Commission in the House of Representatives, Mahfuz Siddiq, asked President Joko Widodo to immediately take over the Flight Information Region from Singapore. In the past, there was consideration of the capability problems, but now Indonesia has made a considerable improvement, so there is no excuse not to take over the Flight Information Region. According to Mahfuz, by taking over the FIR from Singapore, it will provide benefits to Indonesia ranging from business, control air to air sovereignty of Indonesia. According to Mahfuz, this is not too difficult. The president just needs to order the Ministry of Transport, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and Ministry of Defense to jointly renegotiate with Singapore. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of Commission 1, Tantowi Yahya, also asked the Indonesian government to take over the Flight Information Region airspace in Natuna Island, Sumatra, who for over 60 years has been held by Singapore. He considered this not just a matter of business, it's a matter of state sovereignty. Indonesia's air surveillance weakness is often exploited by Singapore to conduct military exercises. According to Tantowi Yahya, this cannot be allowed to drag on. Indonesia's pride would fade in the eyes of other countries. The sovereignty of Indonesia will also be threatened. Therefore, Indonesia should act decisively. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, September 15, 2015 in Jakarta. We start from Kompas. The Daily in its headline writes about the law still discriminative. The firm law enforcement toward connected parties in forest encroachment is a key to overcome smoke disaster that has been going on for almost half of a century, never handled totally. Currently, the law enforcement seems still rhetoric and discriminative. Executive Director of the Environment Forum, Anton Wijaya, complained about the low capacity of law enforcement, both the police and judges. Media Indonesia in its headline writes about the port train still restrained. Although reactivation of train in Tanjung Priok Harbour greeted positively by various circles, immediate effort to realize it still has many obstacles. One of the main obstacles to revive the railway line that has existed since the Dutch era, it is waiting for land acquisition. Deputy for Resources and Services Coordinating Ministry of Maritime and Resources Agung Kuswandono said Monday in Jakarta, land acquisition for AEL along 3 km is being done. Republika in its headline writes about governor rejects authority of miras or alcoholic drinks. The central government will expand the local authorities determine the area where alcoholic drinks can be sold, but the plan was rejected by the local governments. Chairman of the Association of Indonesian Provincial Government, Syahrul Limpo, said the regulation should have
remain in the hands of central government, not arbitrarily given to the provincial government and regency or city. He explained that the refusal toward the regulation does not mean the provincial government rejected the central government policy, but he considered the prohibition of alcoholic drinks would be more effectively carried out starting from the center. We conclude with Business Indonesia presents headline about infrastructure of tourism is addressed. Infrastructure issues, which have become one of the main problems in developing the tourism industry in Indonesia, begin to be addressed. Infrastructure development through the construction of a number of tourism areas completing various breakthroughs that have been taken previously. Previously, the government has been expanding the scope of the recipient country visa-free facility. Listener, that was headline.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. ASEAN Economic Community will go on in January 2016. The readiness of Indonesian people in facing the flow of goods and services from outside is very important, remembering Indonesia is a strategic market in the global economic era. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has asserted that the government is focusing its attention on improvement to infrastructure and the agriculture industry. The prolonged drought induced by the El Nino phenomenon has resulted in a water crisis and harvest failure in some provinces, and also increased the incidence of forest fires in Sumatra, Kalimantan, Java, and Sulawesi. President Jokowi said the government was currently focusing to make improvements in food issues and infrastructures. The president stated that Indonesia's severe challenges were in the economic field because the majority of the goods were imported, so that the weakening of rupiah against the US dollar was increasingly felt. The government will permit the import of 800,000 tons of raw sugar in the fourth quarter of 2015 to meet the refined sugar needs of the domestic sugar industry. Of Tourism and Creative Economy is Nusa Tenggara Marius Jalamu said, from January to August 2015, the Kalimutu National Park in ND has contributed 1.4 billion rupiah to public treasury. The rupiah exchange rate traded among banks in Jakarta on Tuesday morning weakened by 23 points to 14,356 rupiah per US dollar from 14,333 rupiah. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the province of Riau Islands, so stay tuned. Listener, Natuna, besides being the name of the island, is also the name of a regency in the province of Riau Islands. The island, which is located in the international cruise lines, has a wider area of ocean than the land. Therefore, no wonder that Natuna has many fascinating maritime destinations. One of them, called Taman Batu Alif or Alif Stone Park. In this place, you can enjoy an exotic beach scenery combined with large granite stones in the coast, clear seawater, and its wealth of marine life. Thank you.
To go to Olive Stone Park, spend about a half day from Tanjung Pinang, capital of Riau Islands Province, by using sea transport such as ferries. Olive Stone Park is located close to the Ranai City, the capital of Natuna Regency, only takes about 10 to 15 minutes by land transportation. The park is located in the Sepempang Village, East Bunguran Sub-District, about 10 km from Ranai City. When arriving here, you do not need to pay entrance ticket. Once you pass the entrance, paving stone will appear everywhere along the beach. In some boulders, there is a small bridge to allow you from one stone to another. Listener, Olive Stone Park is a tourism icon of Natuna City. The name comes from a rock that stands upright like a form of an Arabic letter, Olive. It is the only upright stone among many others in the area. The tourism site actually has a wonderful view because there is a line of prehistoric giant stones along the beach. Here, you can sit relaxed while enjoying the beautiful views of the coastline. The water is very clear so that you can see directly small fishes and colorful coral reefs from the surface. In the evening, you can enjoy typical beautiful sunset of Natuna. Listener, with a rowing of giant stones in the edge of the beach, of course, the spot has become a favorite location for tourists to take pictures. Therefore, do not forget to bring a camera to get the moment. However, there are not available lodging and restaurants there, so you are advised to bring their own foods when visiting Taman Batu Olive. The park, or Olive Stone Park, is always crowded during the afternoon, especially on holidays such as Saturday and Sunday. For those who want to enjoy more freely and quiet, please come there on weekdays, Monday through Friday. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Taman Batu Olive or Olive Stone Park. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany with a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today's edition will be discussing the City Marathon Festival, or better known as the Mandiri Jakarta Marathon. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Running is one of the easiest exercises that can be done by everyone. This is the reason why Jakarta Marathon Festival is held every year in the capital. Unlike in the previous years, this year support from various parties came for the event known as the 3rd Mandiri Jakarta Marathon. The international scale event will be held on Sunday, October the 25th. The start and finish location remain the same, namely in the area of Silang Monas, Jakarta. Jakarta Marathon will compete the same category with the previous years, namely full marathon, half marathon, and marathons for children sprint. In a press conference held on Wednesday, September the 9th, in Jakarta, Mandiri Jakarta City Marathon founder Endang Muhadi stated,
"Dalam penyelenggaraan Mandiri Jakarta Marathon di tahun 2015,
the third Mandiri Jakarta Marathon in 2015, alhamdulillah, is consistently held on the last Sunday of October. So if the first was on October the 27th, the second is on the 26th, and God willing, this year we've set on October 25th. And for the next 2 years, we have also registered it to the International Association of Athletic Federations, that the Jakarta Marathon will always be held at the last Sunday of October." The Jakarta Marathon is not only followed by professionals, but also by amateur runners. It takes a good preparation to run a marathon. To ensure that all participants are in a good condition to run a marathon, one of the sponsors of the event, Daniel Peter, said, "Our mission is that we want to educate the runners to run safely, so we see from the start that they are prepared, starting from their gears, their nutrition, until their hydration. We want them to pay attention to that." The Ministry of Tourism, Jakarta Provincial Government, in cooperation with Indonesian Athletics Association, or PASI, and Inspiro, are organizing this marathon, followed by Indonesian as well as foreign professional runners. Mrs. Tuti Mardiono, as the representatives of the PASI, explained,
"PASI sangat mendukung diadakannya Jakarta Marathon ini,
PASI strongly support the holding of Jakarta Marathon just like 2 years ago. We can assist in the competition's technical field and invitation, particularly associated with elite runners, international and national runners. For elite runners, we invited them through agencies or representatives in the IAAF list, so their achievements are guaranteed." The event is part of the Tourism 7 special interest, namely sports and recreation, being intensified by the Ministry of Tourism. Through Mandiri Jakarta Marathon 2015, Jakarta also will be a place for sports tourism destination that will live the best side of the city's elegance and heritage sites, combined with the grandeur of the buildings in metropolitan Jakarta. Well, that was Miss Eleni, which informed you about the Festival City Marathon. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to Indonesian pop singer Calvin Jeremy Sihombing, who just came in the Indonesian music industry. Well listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Berdua. Happy listening.
Terus berlalu yang jadi
Listener Calvin Jeremy Sihombing was born in Jakarta on Monday 6, 1991. He is a multi-talented singer, not only able to sing and play music instrument, but he also has talent to compose the songs. Calvin Jeremy started his career in the Indonesian music industry by releasing her first album in 2010 entitled Selamanya or Forever. Calvin Jeremy became publicly known through a hit single entitled Dua Cinta Satu Hati or To Love in One Heart, which stayed the top charts position on the radio stations across the country this year. In composing the songs, Calvin Jeremy is very inspired from the idol musicians such as John Mayer. The opportunity is widely open to Calvin Jeremy to run his career in the Philippines in collaboration with Asia's multi-platinum acoustic sweetheart from the Philippines, Sabrina Oriel, in the song Just the Way You Are. And at the same time, Calvin Jeremy has also made a video clip of his second single entitled Maaf or Sorry in Manila, the Philippines. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Dua Cinta Satu Hati. Happy listening.
Akhirnya ku sadari bila diri ini telah masuk dalam permainanmu. Kini ku sadari bukan hanya diriku yang telah menjadi sandaran hatimu. Dua cinta dalam satu hati tak bisa aku terima. Dua cinta dalam satu hati. Kau sadari bila dirimu telah menghancurkan perasaanku. Bagaimana tidak kekasih yang ku sayangi kulihat bermanja di peluk yang lain. Dua cinta dalam satu hati tak bisa aku terima. Dua cinta dalam satu hati.
Listener, wherever you are, Calvin Jeremy not only developed a musical career for himself, but also for other singers. One of them is the singer Edward Akbar, who always animates every song he dedicated. Not only that, in July 2011, Calvin Jeremy also collaborated with the Indonesian Ministry of Culture and Tourism in making process of video clip, which took place in Bali and Komodo Island, and at the same time also promoting Indonesian tourism through the video clips. With his musical talent and business knowledge, may Calvin Jeremy seriously pursue music, as could be seen from the award he received as the Solo Singer of the Year 2014 in Showbiz Indonesia Award 2014. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Maaf and Kau Mengerti by Calvin Jeremy Sihombing. Enjoy the song, happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Sakiti hatimu, meski bukan maksudku untuk lukai perasaan. Kasih maafkanlah,
kasih maafkanlah,
dan jangan kau membisu karena kesalahanku, egoanku. Berikan ku kesempatan,
berikan ku kesempatan,
perbaiki semua. Karena ku hanya ingin membuatmu bahagia. Ku rindukan tawaran candamu saat ini, biasa mengisi hariku, warnai hidupku.
Ku perlukan cintamu, hadirmu di sini. Ku mohon kembalilah padaku seperti dulu.
Kasih maafkanlah,
kasih maafkanlah,
dan jangan kau membisu karena kesalahanku.
Kesalahanku, keegoanku. Berikan ku kesempatan untuk perbaiki semua, karena ku hanya ingin membuatmu bahagia.
Kasih maafkanlah,
kasih maafkanlah,
dan jangan kau membisu karena kesalahanku. Berikan ku kesempatan,
kesempatan
untuk perbaiki semua, karena ku hanya ingin membuatmu bahagia.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Kau bukan hanya sekedar cerita, sekedar kata yang menghangatkan hatiku. Kau terang di malamku, menghibur laraku. Kau untukku, bagiku kau mengerti semua rasa di hatiku saat sedih, saat bahagia, dan kau tetap setia menanti setiap hari meski kadang ku tak setia. Tetap setia menanti setiap hari meski kadang ku tak setia. Kau tetap setia menanti setiap hari meski kadang ku tak setia. Saat sedih, saat bahagia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Jalani setiap hariku bersamamu, oh kasihku, oh pujaanku, tetaplah selalu ada di hatiku selamanya. Rasa ini yang telah jauh bawa ku terbang ke awan bersamamu selamanya. Yang ku mau tak ada yang dapat pisahkan cinta kita berdua selamanya. Oh, meski rintangan yang datang kita, ku kan selalu menjagamu, ku kan selalu di sisimu. Berjuta rasa cinta ini yang akan ku berikan kepadamu, oh kasihku, kepadamu pujaanku selamanya. Dan ku tahu semuanya indah, tapi ku kan mencintamu selamanya. Takkan ku berhenti, takkan ku ingkari selamanya. Oh, meski rintangan yang datang untuk menghadang cinta kita,
kan selalu menjagamu, ku kan selalu di sisimu. Berjuta rasa cinta ini yang akan ku berikan kepadamu, oh kasihku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.